1 Corinthians chapter 10. And in our study on Sunday afternoons, we're on to this aspect, this doctrine, this teaching, this reality of progressive sanctification. There are those that believe that progressive sanctification is not a doctrine and not a true thing. But if we have understanding of the scriptures and we have even just logic about the way that it works in us, we know that it is certainly a reality. And I think that we can know this, and kind of the tack that I'm taking to address this is just the statement that we see in the scriptures, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Progressive sanctification, I've asked this question, you know, what part grows? The Spirit of God that lives within us. Understand that our spirit bears witness with the Spirit of God that we are the sons of God. And so there is that aspect of our spirit being made alive. But the Spirit that lives within us is the Holy Spirit of God. He has made us alive. So there is that part that is the Lord. There is that part that is us. And involved with this, and although things of the Spirit are not totally and completely intellectual, but they are, we do deal with them intellectually, and we do deal with them, the Lord deals with us from the standpoint of conviction. We learn a thing that we did not learn before. And the power of the Spirit is such that we are greatly challenged by it, changed by it, and then we adjust our thinking within. In Romans chapter 10, the apostle says that he beseeches us, the church there at Rome and us, that we yield our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and blameless before the Lord, and do so by the renewing of our minds. Okay, and so that's what's involved there is we learn, and when we learn and then we apply, we grow and we're more dedicated in that thing that we've learned to our Lord. And so it's all mixed in there together. It is a reality. It is a real thing. It's not the Spirit of the Lord that's growing, because the Spirit of the Lord, He's complete, isn't He? But it's certainly us. It's certainly we who are growing. And so this phrase, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. To be ignorant means you just don't know. It's not a sin to be ignorant. There is an aspect that that we saw in 2 Peter chapter 3 last time, where there is a willful ignorance that can be amongst mankind. Now, that is sinful. And as the children of God, we don't need to be willfully ignorant. Context of that passage is the unbelievers, but it brings a principle that is so amongst mankind, is that we can be willfully ignorant. We can know, and we can just say, not going to go there. Deny it. And the world is subject to that, and we, yet being having this old man and natural man, we can be subject to that too. Another thing that we talked about is what's said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 about being ignorant of Satan's devices. And Lord, help us that we not be ignorant of Satan's devices, because Satan works and moves. He appeals to the natural man. He appeals to our sensuality. He's there and he's ready to throw anything out in front of us that he can to appeal to our natural man to take and divert us off from what's important. And when you and I get diverted in our person and our body and our minds and our hearts, when you and I get diverted, we're not being set apart for the Lord. Okay, we backed up on being set apart. That word sanctification, that's what it means, set apart for the Lord. So when we're faced with a temptation, faced with a trial, will we be sanctified unto the Lord and operate in that the way He says and do what He gives us in doctrine and teaching and principle? Or will we just fly off and just do what's natural for us, shoot off our mouth, do bad actions, and make more problems? How is it that we'll be? That's what we need to learn and to know and to be and to grow up in. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we want to take a look at this passage. This is one of those that the apostle tells us about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's interesting that he brings this to a Gentile church. We've touched on this passage in times past, just generally speaking, as a content of 1 Corinthians. But in this light of progressive sanctification, listen to what the Lord is saying here and how that applies to you and me. Moreover, brethren, so what more, this is in addition to, okay? He's talking about his calling and his ministry. He's his dedication being a servant to all that he meets that he might gain them, okay? He's all things. He's made all things to all men, not partaking in their sin, but he tries to meet people where they are. And you've got to understand about people to be able to meet people where they are. But he does that for the gospel's sake. We are running a race, not against one another, but we are running a race. We need to run so we may obtain a prize for the honor and glorification of the Lord. And if you strive for mastery in this race set before us, we've got to be self-controlled in everything. And so that's a challenge that we have. The more sanctified child of God is going to be more self-controlled in things. He says it's not a shadow box, okay? It's not a training. He said this is the real deal, okay? And he sure doesn't want to be a castaway. Do something, go so far that it would you just be taken and put up on a shelf. Moreover, brethren, chapter 10, verse 1, I would not that ye should be ignorant. So you don't know about this, and you don't know about the application of this, he says, and so I want you to know about it. Okay? So think about that. Put ourselves in a situation that we don't know about this. And now it's being revealed unto us. And understand this, brothers and sisters. This is not being revealed unto us for the sake that we just might know it. Know another account in the Scriptures and be able to regurgitate that at an appropriate time for appropriate reason or whatever. But this is laid before us as an example that we might take it and draw it to us, that we might be more set apart, that we might grow up before our Lord. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Wait a minute. He's talking about Jews to these folks in Greece? Yeah. Yeah, he is. Because there is a connection. There is a connection with Israel coming out of Egypt and in that ministry of Moses. Where was the Lord heading? He was heading to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and the salvation of his people and to build his church for this age that we live in right now. That was in the mind of God from before the beginning. He said, all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized unto Moses. So they saw the pillar of cloud by day. They passed through the Red Sea. They saw the wall of water on both sides. They saw the Egyptians drowned. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. What's that? That's the leadership of Moses, the calling of Moses, the leadership of Moses. Moses says, where are we going to go? Moses says, over here. Moses, where are we going to go? Moses says, over here. Moses says, do this. Moses says, do that. Because why? He's called of God to be the leader, to bring that people out of Egypt and bring them to the promised land. That's what God ordained. And they're in that. They're in that government. It's all from the Lord. It's not Moses' design. It's the Lord's design. He just happens to call this man and empower this man to use him that way. Moses goes up on the mountain. The one that goes farthest up on the mountain is Moses. Moses brings the law back. Moses takes them and grinds up that golden calf and makes them drink it. Moses is the one that intercedes for them when the Lord's going to kill them all. They were immersed in his ministry, which is called of the Lord. Okay? They were all there. There wasn't Moses and then somebody else. there wasn't that church and another church that they could go to. They were there. They were stuck right there. Okay, and there wasn't a church other than it being an assembly, but not in this New Testament church age sense. They were there, and they were immersed in that. That's all they knew. Okay, and what was it that they were seeing? What was it that they were experiencing? The power of God, the mercies of God, the blessings of God upon them as a nation. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? And did all drink the same spiritual drink? Okay, so the provision, we know about the occasions, right? You that are younger in Sunday school, you've learned about the different provisions of the Lord to the children of Israel while they were in the desert, right? Different things provided. Water out of the rock, manna from heaven, quail, all those. He provided for them food, right? But getting down serious with it, the apostle says, it's not the physical stuff that the Lord gave. Because listen to what he says here. They did eat of the same spiritual meat. They did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That was the big picture. Is that the Lord, the angel of the Lord, Christ Jesus himself, and the pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, the rock that brought forth the water. He was there in their midst, leading them, providing for them. And they were all there exposed to it. But you know what happens with people? What happens with people is that some people, they look on and they consider and they see 10 plagues in Egypt and they see a deliverance. They see entrapment by the Red Sea and the mountains on three sides and the Egyptians coming after them. They see the Red Sea parted and opened, and they see the deliverance through that. They see the provision of the Lord as they go on, and they get over there to when they're told to do something by the Lord, they say, God is with us and nobody can be against us, and let's go do it because God has said it. Because they know that God sent a man and he provided for them in these things. And you know what? They were paying attention. They were paying attention to what the Lord was doing and how on this front he took care of it, and on this front he took care of it, and on this front he took care of it. He's got somewhere he's taking us. He means what he says and says what he means. But then there's another that looks on and they said, wow, that plague was terrible, wasn't it? Whew. Glad that didn't come over here at us. Wonder what's going to happen next. Well, that plague happened. Wonder what's going on now. And they go on, one plague, another plague, 10 plagues. And then every time they wake up, it's like a new day. Don't even remember about plague 3, 4, or 5. Found out about the death of the firstborn in Egypt and said, well, he told us to do that with the lamb. Man, I'm glad that worked. Load up your stuff. We're leaving here. What? We're leaving here? Why? You see what I'm getting at? They get over there to the Red Sea and said, we're in trouble. We're going to die. We're either going to drown in the sea or the Egyptians are going to come take us back, kill us, whatever. They don't ever gain any ground about anything. They don't hear what's been said by the prophet. They don't see what's been done by the Lord. And just every day is just laying the first course of their life. How's it going to be with me and you? This church at Corinth is faced with that very same thing. Said all of them were smothered and drowned in the ministry of Moses and the work of the Lord amongst them. And some of them, they got it. They got what the Lord was doing. And confidence was built, and confidence was built in the Lord, and confidence was built. And look how the ratio is. Who went into the promised land? Joshua and Caleb. And I figure their families. I may be wrong about that, but I figure their families. They represented their households. and then the second generation of children. Well, that's what he's putting on this church here. That's what he's putting on us today. How is it with you and me? Are we seeing the ministry of the Lord? We understanding the purpose? We understanding the challenges that he brings us? And in those challenges, we need to have faith in him? Or is it just like we're always just setting the first course of the building of our house? We don't ever get past the first course. It's kind of like we get it laid down and then we just brush it away and then there we are back on the foundation building again. We just don't ever get anywhere else but just laying that first course. That's what he's posing here, a way of saying it. It was Christ that was leading them. He was that spiritual rock, that leader. And you know, look at that contrast between Caleb and Joshua versus the naysayers and that. They said, yeah, if the Lord said it, let's go do it. It'll be okay. The Lord's for us. He'll take care of it. He's done all this for us. He sent us a man when we didn't have any hope whatsoever. And it's not so much that he sent the man. He sent the man because they needed a physical leader. But the leader indeed was the Lord. And if he's done that, if he's delivered us out of Egypt, he'll bring us to the land. See, what was going on is they were paying attention and they were growing up. Growing up. Sanctified. Not, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? But wonder what the Lord's going to have us do next. It'll be good. It goes on to say here, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. They never grew up. For they were overthrown. They were overthrown by what? By their own lust and their own sin. By not having their eyes on the Lord, but having their eyes on themselves. You know, how does a nation get out from a country that is so powerful without even a shot being fired? By the power of the Lord. You know, how is it that a people that were, you know, they had the substance of life. How is it that a people can leave out a wealthy nation in a matter of hours? By the power of the Lord. They had more booty, more gold and gems, right? Remember how all that, through the building of the tabernacle and all that they dedicated and all that kind of thing that they had? And I wonder if some of that stuff didn't even last in the days of Solomon. I mean, in an instant, they were provisioned. And some of them understood what the Lord was doing. But those that were overthrown, they never grew up. They never got sight of what the Lord is doing. They never got sight of saying, you know, to my eyes, this looks hopeless, but the Lord knows what's going on. More set apart for him. He was not pleased with those that were overthrown in the wilderness, overthrown by their own sin and disobedience in their hearts. Verse 6, here's how it comes to you and me. Now, these things were our examples. These are our examples right here in this New Testament church age. What happened to them is an example to you and me, to the intent that we should not desire after evil things as they desired, as they lusted. Lust is the word. Desire is the meaning that you and I can understand. These are our examples that we should not desire after evil things as they desired. So, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of this. I don't want you to be ignorant of what happened to them. They desired everything but what the Lord wanted. What's your desire? Do you desire what the Lord wants? I'll tell you what. That's good. It's good to grow up and desire what the Lord wants. Do you just desire what you want? Do I just desire what I want? Thinking that we know all the will and the best perfect plan of God to where we think we can make the decisions? How is it? How is it with us? This is an example to us that we don't need to desire. The Lord blesses us, and He blesses each family as pleases Him. And may we not take His blessings and use it to sin against Him, to put it in front or between us and Him, but use it in its place for the furtherance of the kingdom, and not let that be our only stake that we have of our life, but that the Lord is the one that we look to. It's the difference between growing up or not. It's the difference between being set apart for the Lord. Now this comes to you and me. This comes to you and me here. He doesn't want us to be ignorant of this, what happened with them and the way it worked with them. Now we are informed. How's it going to be with us? How will it be with you and me? Neither be idolaters. Okay, the golden calf. We know about that. What was the greatest thing about their idolatry is, well, they wanted their own way. Any way that the Lord wanted it, they didn't want it that way. They wanted it another way. They thought that they had a better idea. As were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And that was in the occasion of the golden calf, right? They remembered about all the luxury of Egypt, and they had all this wealth and provision. They got impatient. They had no patience. They waited on Moses for, 23 and a half days. I don't know how long they waited before they went to Aaron to make the calf, but they got tired of waiting. You know, if the Lord did what He did to bring them to that point, is Moses going to come down out of the mount? He sure is. But see, if one is immature, no patience, not willing to wait on the Lord when there's nothing to be done but to wait, then that's what you do. That's what people do, is we start making decisions and doing things according to what we think. And that's not being set apart for the Lord. When the Lord says wait, He means wait. We just need to wait. When the Lord says go, He means go. We need to go. That's part of being. So now this ignorance of not knowing this is now assuaged, in that we know this. So now that we know, what will we do with the information? You see that? Will we grow up, take it and grow up? See, let's say you're here in the Church of Corinth, and you didn't know that this account of what happened to Israel in the Old Testament scriptures, which is most of what they had. You know, the epistles to the churches are beginning to come around. The gospels, some of the gospels written maybe by this time, others not. They're beginning to go around, but the churches don't have that, but they got the Old Testament. So now the apostle is writing to this church at Corinth, and he's saying, this account here of the children of Israel being taken out of Egypt and going to the promised land and all that ministry of Moses and everything, you know what? You and I, we can learn something from that we can bring to us here today. Now the ignorance is assuaged. The ignorance is done away with. Now you know. So then what will we do with it? Well, just like the children of Israel, sad to say, there'll be some that tomorrow will be a new day and that'll just be gone, and there's the account that's there, but it means nothing to me. But then those that are being sanctified, those that are looking to grow up, those that have desire to grow up in the Lord, to say, oh, okay, I need to know. I need to watch what I desire. I need to watch about having the ministry of the Lord all around me, especially we that are in His church, having this ministry of the Lord all around me, but not being sensitive to it. You know, the Lord's done a great ministry here at Olmsted Baptist Church, hasn't He? All these saints that are members of the church that have been here decades before us, that have made and been here, and this church has been here to shine as a body of believers, has brought this all up here today to where what we have today is a result of the Lord's working in that. What will you and I do with it? What will we do with it? This is speaking to us. Do we just look at the church as, well, I need the church to serve me, and that's it. That's what the church does. Or do I need the church to help me when I'm down and when I'm weak and when I'm needed? Indeed, that's there. Do I need nourishment? Sure, we all need nourishment. But is the church here for me to work in, to take it further on to the next generation? You know, how is it? How's it going to be? The one that's sanctified and set apart for the Lord's service is saying, what can I do? What can I do? Where can I fill my part? Where can I be active for the future? Where can I be in the moving on of this? What can I do to take this work and do my part to take it on? And then there'll be others that just say, it's here. Bless me if you can. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. Same kind of thing. But when the ignorance is taken and shattered and this knowledge is at hand, what will we do with it? Neither let us commit fornication, verse number 8. As some of them committed, and we've talked about that in the book of Hosea, right? And fell in one day 70,000. They went after the thing of Baal Peor, and the wrath of the Lord was hot against them in that wickedness that they went after. Balaam did his promotion to the king there of Moab, I think it was, and told him how he could weaken the nation by sending their women amongst them, and that fornication that took place and that wickedness of Baal Peor. They had their freedom from Egypt, had their wealth, had their provision, and said, well, I'm just going to do what I want to, and went after that wicked, wicked stuff. The stuff that the Lord had forbidden them from going after. He said, don't you do after the nations in the land where I take you. Don't do it. Don't follow after. Don't follow after the things of Egypt. Don't follow after the things of Canaan. You follow after the things of me. So then there they are. They say, when the Lord tells you and he informs you about his way, what will we do with it? Will it be just a way that we hold in knowledge but no application to our life? Or we have the way of the Lord and say, you know, I need to put this to use in my life and change my ways. Search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. Cleanse my heart. Right? Like Brother David prayed. Neither let us tempt Christ. Verse number 9, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed as serpents, right? They're over there. I think they're over there on the eastern slope of some of the mountains of Seir. And they're having to go all the way down south to come around because King of Moab won't let them pass through, if my memory serves me correctly. The way is rocky. It's rough. It's on a tilt. They're just discouraged. And they start murmuring. Murmur, 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 grumble, murmur. Murmur, murmur, murmur. Grumble, murmur. The Lord's delivered them. He's provided food for them every day. He's got them a system. He's still leading them. He hadn't left them. He's still taking them to the promised land. They did 40 years in the wilderness because of their sin. I mean, they had to reap what they sowed. I mean, you and I don't. We don't reap what we sow. After all, we're us. We shouldn't have to reap what we sow, right? No, we got to reap what we sow too. It happens. They start murmuring. The Lord sends fiery serpents amongst them. It kills some of them. You know, think about, you know, if we get wayward as a people, as a church, individually, you know, thank the Lord he doesn't send fiery serpents amongst us. Amen. He might make us sick, or he might give us problems or troubles or whatever. And I tell you what, when those things happen, we need to be praying to him. Lord, help us, heal us. If there's something going on in my life, help me to see what that is. Get it straight. Get it right with you. We need to be brought to repentance. You know, the sanctified child of God will do that. Say, Lord, is it just time to be sick? Or is there something I need to correct in my life? Show me. Show me. The immature child of God says, oh, we're sick again. Oh, sick, sick, sick. What are we going to do? Sick, 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 sick. None of us want to be sick. I tell you what, you get cancer, it's scary. It's plumb scary. But what are we going to do? We go to the Lord. Lord, help us. That's what the grown-up and mature child of God does. The immature child of God runs in circles and screams and shouts, trying to find an answer in themselves. There's no answer in ourselves. Don't need to tempt Christ by murmuring and complaining. Look at us. We don't live in cardboard. We got more clothes than we can ever wear, more shoes than we can ever wear, more vehicles than we can drive the wheels off of. We don't need to tempt Christ by murmuring. But that's what they were in the same boat, weren't they? Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. And so there's four occasions there that's mentioned. Verse number 11. Now all these things, here it is again, all these things happen unto them for examples. They're an example to you and me. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant of this, brethren. I don't want you to be not knowledgeable. What you read over there in the book of Exodus, the book of Numbers, it happened to them, and it's example to you and me right up here in the church age, that we don't need to do like they did. We don't need to beat them up. We don't need to run them down in our hearts and minds. We need to learn. And we need to take that and not just know about the account. You know, we teach the children the accounts, right? So then as their maturity grows, the Lord's got something there to work with on them. Amen? That's the way the Lord does it. They grow up physically, they grow up emotionally and mentally, intellectually, and we give them that information and we pray the Lord with His Spirit will take that and then use it in their life to show them, this applies to me. And that's the way it needs to be with you and me that are saved. There's something to learn there more than the account that we should be more set apart for our Lord. Now, all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. They are written for our admonition to admonish us to do well, to not be a child in the Lord, but to be a full age, to grow up. They're written in the Bible, and we've got them here complete and whole. They're written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world, the end of the age, are come. We're getting close to the Lord wrapping this thing up. We're getting close to the Lord Jesus coming back. We're running out of time to do well before our Lord with the talents, the pounds that we've been given. How's it going to be with us? We need to grow up. We don't need to be ignorant. We need to know what the Scripture says, and we need to understand about applying it to our lives. Here we go. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. We don't need to be proud in any accomplishment that we have in the Lord. But I tell you what, we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful, and we need to be acknowledging. You know, I think that there's a thing that some folks maybe say, I wonder, I'm not even going to try because I'm afraid of failure. I'm not going to try because I can't be like brother or sister so-and-so. I'm not going to try because I can't attain. Well, listen, the race that you're running is the race set before you by the Lord, not against anyone else. And so you need to run that race. Get over comparing yourselves, ourselves, with one another. Get over the comparison. If you're going to compare yourself to anybody, compare yourself to Christ. And then press for the mark. Press for the mark. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. We all have faults. We all have room that we need to grow up. We all have the necessity to gain the Scripture and to take that Scripture that we gain and apply it to our lives. We all have room for that. we will always have room for that until the Lord takes us out of here. And then this encouragement, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. This is the one, kind of like that woman I told you about this morning. She said that she had committed the unpardonable sin. I doubt she had committed the unpardonable sin because that's a diabolical kind of thing, and people that do that know that they're doing it, I believe. What you've got on you is no different than what any other saint has ever had on them. There's a saint out there that's had worse than you, guaranteed. They say, well, Brother Jim, you just don't understand my situation. I tell you what, I may not, but the Lord does. The Lord understands. And this is what the Lord says. This isn't pie in the sky and words for filler. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You know what that way to escape is? Obedience. Obedience. Don't make the molten calf. Don't be ignorant about what God has done. Don't slough off the Lord's blessings and work and say it's another day, and then start laying that first course on your foundation again the next day. Grow. Learn. Apply it. Ask the Lord to help you. Build it up for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Because the Lord is able, and He is able. James talks to us about the trials and the temptations that we have, that He sends or that come our way, that we need to have let patience have a perfect work. Our faith is increased in that. The Lord is not going to load us up more. Now listen, I tell you what, it'll feel like you're going to bust. But the Lord's made this promise. Does the Lord lie? See, get that settled. Does the Lord lie? He never lies. Remember what Brother Nathaniel preached? Don't take the lid off the rice pot. The Lord will give us what we need to get through. Tell you what, that's a good picture, isn't it? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He is a faithful God. Unlike our faithfulness, He's not like us. He is faithful indeed, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. He won't take you beyond what you're able to endure, child of God. He's promised it. Pardon me. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, and that is by obedience, by patience, that you may be able to bear it. Verse number 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. That's interesting. Brother John wraps up one of his epistles that way, flee from idols. See, because that's the whole thing that's going on there. There's an idol in the way, and I don't even learn the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, the Lord's not going to take the Word of God and just like stick it in your ear. That time is past because the Word of God's written. Okay? The Word of the Lord comes along, and I learn it as a child of God. But you know what? An idol comes up. I bring an idol up. Prevents me from taking and applying it. Word of God comes to me, and I'm not ignorant anymore about what the Lord says. I learn some things and how I need to take and apply that. And I take that and ask the Lord with His strength and His power to take it and apply it to my life. Like this example, the children of Israel being brought out of Egypt to the promised land. And I learn and I take and I use that in my life. Don't be a murmurer. Don't complain against God. Don't be an idolater and put myself as an idol and worship myself more than worship the Lord. Well, I don't worship myself at all. You understand what I'm saying? Put myself. Don't take somebody else. Don't take another person and put between you and the Lord. Anytime we take anything or anyone and put it between us and the Lord, it's idolatry. And we don't need to do that. It prevents us from growing up. It's catering to the natural side. And it's a shame, a squelching, a quenching, and a grieving to the Spirit of God. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. We don't need to be ignorant. We need to learn what the Lord says in His Word. We need to apply it to our lives. As I mentioned Friday night in our session of Summer Bible School, service and worship of the Lord is the only way to complete and true eternal fulfillment for the life. It's the only way. It's the only thing. Now, we have fulfillment in marriage, and that's interesting. It's a thing from the Lord. There's an element of fulfillment there that's blessed of the Lord. We have fulfillment in having our children. That's a blessing of the Lord. There's an aspect of being somewhat fulfilled in some of the work that we do. But a life will not be fulfilled unless the Lord is center. And that is the only fulfillment that is eternal. And you know what? It's better to get on board with that here than just waiting for there. So may the Lord help us that we not be ignorant and we take and apply His Word.